Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are joining us from for our worship today, you are very welcome. I'm currently here in the Assembly Hall towards the end of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. It's been a good week, and if you haven't already engaged in some of the online material, then I commend that to you. But now we come together to worship our God.
Thank you. Holy One, we gather in this sacred place, whether it be our home or a sanctuary. We come humbly before you and offer you this time of worship. Your creative works in the heavens above and the earth below continue to amaze us and allow us space to wonder at the beauty and mystery of it all. Your Son Jesus came among us and experienced it all for himself. He helped us to savour it all and encouraged us to look after all life. Like Isaiah and Nicodemus, you call us to follow you, to take up our cross and step forward to where you lead. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we have failed to follow you. We regret that we have let you down, and we long to be reconciled to you, cleansed and renewed, so that we may walk once more in your way. Lord, give us courage to respond to your call each day, and wisdom to discern where you are leading us, so that we might follow faithfully and guide others to you. Gracious and merciful God, we long to respond to your call and to bring your kingdom here and now. Amen.
A reading from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. Isaiah's commission. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me."
How do you describe something that cannot be described? I remember the first time I was introduced to pakora, the Indian snack made with gram flour and spices and deep fried. I remember the first time, it was in a restaurant in the West End of Glasgow, and my father had asked the waiter to tell us about pakora. And he said, "Pakora, it is indescribable." I enjoy pakora, the indescribable. And I've often told the story of the young girl who was drawing a picture, and her Sunday school teacher said, "What are you drawing a picture of?" And the girl said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." To be told, "But no one knows what God looks like." "Just give me a minute," said the young girl, "and then they will." How do we describe the undescribable? Isaiah, who had become a prophet, a voice for God, was called by God in indescribable ways. How do you tell people about angels? How do you tell people about God? Let's ask Isaiah.
People often ask me what happened in the temple, what I heard, what I felt, what I saw. I'll try to tell my story, but I warn you, you may find it hard to believe. I saw God. There's no other way to tell this. I saw God. The fringes of his robe, just the fringes, were enough to fill the whole temple. I saw angels. I told you this was going to be wild. I saw angels. Angels with wings, six wings, two to cover their faces, two to cover their feet, and two to enable them to fly. I heard the angels call to each other. I could understand them. They shouted, "Holy, holy, holy is God the King. The whole earth is full of his glory." And then the foundations of the temple shook at the sound of the angels' voices, and I was shaken too. I had no idea what was happening around me. The whole building filled up with smoke. So, are you still with me? I thought I was dead. Nobody can see God and live. Nobody like me. But I was still alive. Then one of the angels flew towards me. I was finished for sure. And this angel was carrying a live coal from the altar, carrying it in a pair of tongs. And he touched the burning coal to my lips. Then the angel spoke to me. He, or maybe it was she, told me that God had made me clean. Then I heard another voice, and I knew it was God's voice. Don't ask me how I knew it was God's voice. I just did. Don't ask me if I heard it out loud or if it was a voice inside my head. I don't know. I just knew it was God. And God asked a question. Was it a question addressed to me? I think it was. God asked, "Who will be our messenger? Who will live and speak for us?" And I answered God, "I'm here. Send me." So that's my story. Words are not enough. But words are all I've got. And there's no way I can draw a picture. But I know that God called me. And I said, "Send me."
A reading from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things. I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
The Constitution of the Church of Scotland, in words penned a century ago, begins, "The Church of Scotland is part of the Holy Catholic or Universal Church, worshipping one God, almighty, all-wise and all-loving, in the Trinity of the Father, the Son and the Holy Ghost." And so it goes on. Today is Trinity Sunday, the Sunday after Pentecost, when the Church celebrates, ponders the mystery that is the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Over the last few weeks, we have encountered one or two different images that help us to understand something of who God is. God the Good Shepherd, the Spirit as a dove, as a tongue of fire, Jesus as the vine, and ourselves as the branches. The image of Trinity, three in one, reminds us of relationship, that God in God's self is a unity, a relationship of love, and we are called to encounter God three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our Bible stories today take us to two very different encounters with God. First, in the Old Testament, in the book of the prophet Isaiah, at chapter 6, the call of Isaiah. Words that we've heard already and pondered upon a little in that reflection with Isaiah the prophet, as he describes something of the mystery of that wondrous moment of encounter. As we heard that reflection, the image of Marc Chagall's painting, Prophet Isaiah, a painting from 1968, a painting from a Jewish painter, captures something of the wonder and mystery of that godly encounter. Marc Chagall, a Jewish painter with a fascination for the cross. Did you notice the cross in the top left hand corner? Our New Testament story takes us to Nicodemus, the one who came to Jesus by night, presumably because he didn't want to be seen speaking to this itinerant preacher. And yet he was curious, and he came to Jesus. that passage, a well-known passage in John chapter 3, leaves us wondering if Nicodemus chose to believe in the promises of the one who said, you must be born again, you must be born of the Spirit. And yet, as we read on in John's Gospel, chapter 7, we find that when the Pharisees, and Nicodemus was one of them, when the majority view was against Jesus, it was Nicodemus who stood up and said, don't treat this man so harshly. And at the very end, as we come to the story of the cross, Nicodemus was there with Joseph of Arimathea. Nicodemus was one of the ones who ensured that there was a fitting burial for Jesus. Two very different encounters. The dramatic in the temple with Isaiah, the one who would be called to be a prophet. And then the more ordinary, mundane conversation by night that Nicodemus and Jesus would have. Lots of different encounters with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As we read on in John in the next chapter, we come to another of those encounters, the woman at the well of Samaria. There's another really important encounter that I want you to think about. The encounter that you have with the living God revealed, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each of us is called into that loving encounter individually and together as the church. The Church of Scotland during this last week has been meeting in General Assembly. It was a great privilege to be among the few that were meeting in the hall as 700 and more commissioners, delegates, corresponding members, and others shared in the business, the worship, the mission of our Church of Scotland. A difficult, challenging assembly in many ways. And we have been challenged to think of how we balance the books as we look to the right number of ministers and ministries around the church. Currently, just under 700 ministers, but 350 vacant congregations. And so the challenge over the next few years to establish a mission plan that gets us to 600 ministers operating in no more than 660 charges. There always has to be some room for some movement. Challenging times ahead. And so too, as we think of buildings, the need for some rationalisation. We've known for that 100 years since the constitution of the church that brought together different strands of the Presbyterian Church in Scotland with all its buildings. Now is the time. As the outgoing moderator, the Reverend Dr. Martin Fair, reminded us in his stirring and moving speech at the beginning of the assembly, used the refrain, there's much work to be done. climate change, social justice, vaccinations for all. Just some of the things ahead of us as we seek to be the Church of Jesus Christ. The Church of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Church that seeks to invite others into that relationship with Almighty God. Relationships that happen in so many different ways. May we all be blessed. May we be a blessing as we seek to continue the ministry, the mission of God's Church. Amen.
Compassionate One, we thank you for sending your Son among us, for washing us clean of our sin and guilt, and offering us a new way ahead. Holy Spirit, you guide us to where we need to be and to do the work that needs to be done. We stand before you, anxious and afraid of what you will ask of us, but willing to take a risk and ready to serve. For children, women and men in need of a safe place to stay, for food on the table, books to read, medicine to heal, and money to pay bills, we pray, O Lord, send us to help them. For men, women and children burdened by guilt and feelings of worthlessness, we pray, O Lord, send us to help them. For women, children and men longing to know you and discover your love and call on their lives, we pray, O Lord, send us to help them. For all who have already answered the call and who serve you faithfully, using their gifts to help others, we thank you, O Lord. Whenever you ask, whom shall I send? May we be ready to respond, here I am, Lord, send me. So be it. Amen.
And so with our worship and our prayers, we bring all that we have, all that we are, our time, our talents, our money, to be used to build up the kingdom and the Church. Almighty, mysterious God, we offer it all to you. And we pray together and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
worship is ending. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord, knowing that the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is with you and all those you love and all those you should love today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.